So, I'm finally after years of owning the domain and years of planning to put the website up, have a functional website. So how did that happen? Interesting. So the thing is, when it comes to the internet, I'm relatively minimalist. I don't like having a ton of JavaScript or a ton of resources that's clogging up my downloads, like my upload speed, my download speed. Yeah, it's just awful if I'm sitting with semi-reliable Wi-Fi and I try to access a text-only website and I can't get to the text because you're downloading a bajillion megabytes of like random JavaScript and random images which you don't need. So I've always wanted a relatively plain text-based website and maybe a bit of JavaScript here and there if I want to make some sort of a toy or a demo, but I don't want my website to be reliant on JavaScript. Okay, so like, not that a big deal, there's plenty of ways to do it. One thing I definitely didn't want to do is like write some sort of a React app or something that's running on the server side. Because like, really I don't need that. I mostly just want static text. So I wanted a static site, right? I don't know, maybe like wanted like a PHP page or something would be decent, but like I don't want a dynamically generated site. I don't need it. I basically want a blog. I don't know how many blog pages I'm going to write, but like I basically like want a blog and about me and projects. So now it was just setting up a static site. Well, one way you can do that, one way that always felt a bit attractive, is to just write HTML by hand. Problem with this is it gets really annoying. Especially if I want some sort of element across the site that stays consistent. For example, a header, a nav bar. Right? Because if I update my nav bar text in one page, I have to update it in all of them. And am I going to remember every single page where I have that element? And just in general, it's going to be very annoying. So just like having a consistent style, and like, I don't know, I might want to generate an RSS feed of my blog page posts. And that, for example, can't really do that if, I mean, I can manually write an RSS feed, just not my cup of tea. So, there are various solutions. I mean, I'm pretty sure I can use Django or Flask as a static site generator if I really wanted to. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure at some point I looked into that. If I want to do that, I want some sort of like a templating or a scripting. And I definitely wanted multilingual support because I am bilingual. So I want to write content in both English and Afrikaans, and I very much am planning on learning more languages and will probably at some point want to create pages of different languages on my site. So I wanted something that allowed me to be multilingual. Okay. And I also wanted control, a certain measure of control over my page. So like, for example, if I wanted to generate a table of contents and I want to be able to control the layout of the HTML that's generated. So mostly like HTML templating, although if I could write something like Markdown and generate HTML from that, that would of course be great, because writing HTML isn't the greatest experience always. But it's doable, if need be. So over the years, I have tried to get my website up multiple times. But another thing, another facet of my personality which plays a part in this, is that I am somewhat perfectionistic, and I also want to understand everything that's happening, and I frequently like reinventing the wheel. So, for example, I really dislike using IDEs, especially when learning a language, because they hide away and abstract a lot of what you're doing. For example, if I am using a Java IDE and telling it to create a Java project for me and telling it to run my program, I do not know what the command is to compile my program. I do not know what the command is to run my program. I do not know what command line flags are used for debug and release calls. I want to know all of that. I also frequently do not know exactly what the project structure is and where all the files should go, because my IDE is managing that for me. And I find this incredibly annoying, which is one of the reasons I have struggled to learn Java up to now, because most of the tutorials start with create a project in your IDE. Luckily, this semester at university, we are writing programs in Notepad++ and compiling them from the command prompt. So I reckon this method of learning Java is much more fitting to my personality than the typical tutorials available on the internet. But that is besides the point, my struggles learning Java. How does this come into building a website? The thing is, I have tried many static site generators. I won't even try to remember what all of them are. Many of them are quite interesting. Problem is, a lot of them are a bit opinionated about the structure of your site. And the thing is, I also want to do stuff my way. So I want to put the pages wherever I want to put them. I don't want my pages going where the static site generator tells me to put them. Yes. So that rules out a whole host of static site generators. And many of the more popular ones, certainly. Or at least, for many of them, I couldn't figure out how to do whatever I want. Typically, if you are trying to do something completely different from the software you're using, how they want you to do it, it does make the experience slightly more difficult. So I've also tried, and like my other problem I've had, is that many of these static site generators allows you to write Markdown or some or whatever, but then they create the HTML in a certain structure which they want. They don't just let you dictate exactly how the surrounding HTML should look. Like, I understand that if I write hash header, it's going to generate me an H1 tag. I have no problem with that. But what I do want you to be able to do is write my blog post in Markdown and have complete control about what does the HTML header look like, which typically I don't. It includes all sorts of CSS and like all sorts of stuff I don't understand. You just put in the header for me, which I don't need it. It's just a text page. Like, really, please. You can keep it a bit more basic than that. And then, even the more basic ones, I remember there was quite a nice static site generator, which I believe was written in Nim, which came with its own, like, templating engine and all of that. However, one thing I found in that templating engine is... now I'm going to actually have to remember. I don't know, there was some issue with the templating engine. What was the issue with the templating engine? That is the question. What was it? I don't know. I can't remember at the moment. Let's see if I remember that. Anyways. Issue with the templating engine. Didn't like it for some reason. Blah, blah, blah. Completely lost my train of thought. Wunderbar. Templating engine. yeah, point being, didn't work out. Then I have also tried various times to write my own statics I generated, typically in Python, because for the longest time that's the programming language I was the most familiar with and liked the most, although when I learned C++ I liked it more than Python because of the general guarantees that static typing gives you. Catches all sorts of errors at compile time, which otherwise you'd have to just catch by running the program, which I find rather annoying once it's been introduced to me that another way is available. But the problem with C++ is that I learned C++ for competitive programming, so I'm not really familiar with how to use libraries in C++ or where to look for said libraries. And in general, it is quicker and easier to get something set up and running with Python than with C++, at least in my experience. Python is, after all, a scripting language, whereas C++ is, I think it's generally considered a systems language, lower level than Python, certainly. So I've tried various times writing in Python. I've tried writing my own markdown parser. I've tried using markdown parsers from libraries, but always, inevitably, I'll end up creating some sort of overcomplicated, over-engineered solution, which doesn't necessarily work that great. And 2 weeks later, I have another interesting project which distracts my attention, especially because it's not fun working on it any longer, because it is overcomplicated and over-engineered and unmaintainable. But now, at last, I have created a static site generator in C. It was created entirely by myself, so I have complete control and control over and knowledge of how it works. I can add a feature anytime I want. I know the one static site generator. It might have been Hasty Site. It might have been the other one in NUM. Can't remember exactly. No, it was the one in NUM, I'm pretty sure. Yes. Anyways, the one static site generator I typed, really nice overall. I loved it. But just a certain feature I wanted, and I couldn't do it with what was provided to me. So I would have to, contribute my own fix to the source code. And I spent a day or two trying to figure that out. And, I didn't quite understand what was going on in the source code, and I didn't quite know how I'd extend it to do what I wanted to do. I suspect it had to do with, the language tag. I don't think there's a tag for your language, but it's an attribute in the HTML or like a meta tag or something, which you say the language of the page. And now typically this would be EN for English or NUS for US English, or I think those two are the most common on English language websites or web pages, as it may be. And so they just had the default. But if I write a page in Afrikaans, I don't want the metadata saying that it's an English page. I want the metadata saying that it's an Afrikaans page, because it's an Afrikaans page, you know. So I spent some time trying to figure that out. And it was pretty hard-coded in there. I'm contributing to someone else's program. I can't just have a bodge job that technically works. I need to do something proper, and I couldn't figure out in a day or two how to do something proper. So I also gave up with that one. Anyways, now I might be remembering actually from the NUM one that the templating worked really nice. It's just this language issue that got me. I believe in my blog, my pages are by default going to be NZA for South African English, and then where appropriate it would either be AF, so AF for Afrikaans, would be AFZA, so South African Afrikaans. Not that, I mean, that Afrikaans is spoken in Namibia. I don't know if that's really that much of a different variety. To be fair, most of the Afrikaans is spoken in Namibia was with my cousin, but I don't think they speak a very much different Afrikaans. Honestly, I think South African Afrikaans is actually a bit stupid, because I'm pretty sure the Afrikaans they speak in the Cape is more different from the Afrikaans I speak than the Afrikaans they speak in Namibia. So it would be more accurate to say like Cape Afrikaans versus Transvaal Afrikaans versus Namakwaland Afrikaans or something. I'm not familiar with all the varieties. I mostly just know about my own Transvaal dialect and the Cape dialect. But yes. Point being, default's probably going to be South African English, because I do not speak American English, nor do I speak British English. My English typically tends to be more British than American, but it is very much a South African English, although it's a very mixed sort of an English from all sorts of sources, especially my accent. I don't know about the words I use, but my accent I know is quite mixed, although still recognizably Afrikaans. But I am off topic once again. Yep, that's the way it is. Where was I? Yeah, static sites don't work. So I've finally written something in C, and it works great. It's inspired by the one Turing video I saw, where he wrote it was a toy example, if I remember correctly. But he wrote his own static site generator, essentially, in Jai. And Jai has awesome compile time capabilities. But, you know, I was thinking, why can't I do that in C? And, like, I was not only inspired by his example in Jai, which I'll add a link to the blog post. Also, his knob.h, Knobold, which is the bold system that he typically uses for C programs, and I've also find myself using, which is essentially a header-only library that allows you to write bold scripts for C in C. So now I am using C to compile my C programs. And I have also, is it for my operating system I'm using? My kernel. The operating system is misleading. Can't really do a lot of operating system things. Even calling it a kernel is misleading, honestly. It's more like a bare metal program that's there for demo purposes. I don't know if I'm going to discuss this in the blog post, so I don't know if I'm going to link it. I am considering uploading this voice recording as like the source of the blog post / a first draft. And if I do so, that you're going to be confused, but I believe on GitHub it's CPP demo kernel, I'm pretty sure. So I originally intended it as my CMPG 121 project, kernel roughly written in C++ with demo quote-unquote programs, but they're not really programs because they're built into the kernel. I mean, I guess they are programs, but they're all compiled into the single binary. So I definitely could have done it in the 2 weeks. I think majority of the work was done over a period of 2 weeks. It's just I really got stuck getting keyboard input for 2 days. I did nothing except trying to get keyboard input working. I did not work on my math, I did not work on my stats, I did not work on my applied math. I some of the class tests I wrote, my grades suffered. I sometimes hyper-focus, which isn't good. And I was getting quite in a bit of a mental state because of that. I'm a bit upset. So I just said, break. We're not doing this. Because, I mean, quite honestly, if I continued, I'd probably be stuck for the rest of the week, because, my mind was just stuck in a rut. So then I put that one aside and wrote a mini-platformer game with Raylab. Very fun. still a bit sad I couldn't have done the operating system thing, because that's a lot cooler. Well, to me, to a programming nerd, it's cooler. To an average guy on the street, the game is probably cooler. But yeah, so I still need to finish that. I am so close to making a V1. But yeah, anyways, I am getting off topic again. I am very distractible. When I'm speaking, I am very distractible. In general, I'm very distractible, though. Like, it's mostly in my head, but I am very distractible. But anyways, yes, so I believe I used nom.h to compile that. Unless it's for my game. It might be for my game. One of them I am using nom.h, the other one I'm trying to switch over to nom.h. Can't remember which is which. Could be either. No, it must be my game, because I remember there was a problem when I included nob.h. My GitHub showed that like majority of my code was C code, and then I would have not passed as a project because the majority had to be C++. So I added it as a Git sub module. So the code in the Git sub module doesn't count towards my total code, and it's somebody else's code, right? It's not like I'm writing most of the code in C and then hiding it from a professor. No, it's somebody else's code. It's an external library. It doesn't count. And it's an external library which isn't even linked into my final thing. It's just usable for the program. But anyways, I don't know why I'm so defensive about this. Probably no one's even going to listen to this. But yeah. So, yeah, nob.h. I know in the one nob.h. Yes, I did a two-stage bold script. Yes, for my game, actually. Yes, for my game. I think it's my operating system where I'm still transitioning over to it, or I tried to and I gave up for now. But anyways, so what I was doing in that nob.h script, right, is rather than compiling the program, I created a bold script using nob.h, and I created a config.h file which is included in the bold script, and then yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'll need to go and double check this. I'm walking around on university grounds talking to myself like a crazy person. My laptop's in my bag, so I can't check at the moment. Also, this is supposed to be like a very rough draft for my blog post. I feel like I've gone way off topic. And because typing it, I've tried typing this Hello World blog post. That was several weeks ago. I suffer from bits of writer's block, but like, I'm just gonna have a spoken first draft because I know I can send 40-minute voice notes. I know this. So, I'm just sending myself, essentially. Well, I'm using the recorder app, not WhatsApp, but like, I'm sending myself a long voice note because I know I can speak semi-coherent nonsense, and I just need to type it up into a blog post, you know? Basically, this is just getting the first draft down so that I have something to work with. And then when I have the first blog post working, then I'm going to split my SSD into the SSD repo and the website content repo, and I'm going to generate my website, and then I'm going to be happy, and then I'm going to figure out how the hell do I upload this into cPanel. Probably not that big of, not that difficult, but like I need to find a way that's like easy to do to replace the content of my website with a new content periodically. I don't want it to be like a big manual difficult thing. Probably not going to run this code on cPanel because it's like too much effort. But yeah, just going to run it locally and then upload it. But anyways. It would be really cool if I could just like upload a zip file and get it unpacked, but I don't know if cPanel offers that functionality. I am way off topic. What was I saying? Oh yeah, the knob script. So I had a two-stage compilation. So I wrote my compile script, and then I also wrote a config.h file, where it's like, no, I didn't. I generated the config.h file if it didn't exist. If it did exist, I'd use the one that's already there. And then there, I have like a hash defined debug, which I can uncomment that for release build or comment that for debug build, and a hash defined windows, I think, something like that. where if I define Windows, I compile for Windows, otherwise I compile for Linux. I do all my development work on Linux. I only have a Linux computer. I don't own a Windows computer. All of my friends, okay, my brother is at the moment. Is he using Windows? I don't know if my brother is using Windows. My parents only use Windows. My brother was only using Windows, then he was using Linux. He might be using Windows again. I don't know. My friend also was using Linux, couldn't get printed working, switched back to Windows. But yeah, anyway, I only have Linux. There are lab computers available with Windows 11. What's an awful with Windows 11, I'm not doing all my development work on those. Thank you very much. I like my Linux. It's a great development environment. As a general operating system, I really don't like Windows. I don't think it makes a great development environment either. So I did all my development on Linux cross-compiled for Windows. So like I have a hash defined Windows. For example, it might not be exactly Windows, but you get the gist of it. And then my build script would build and run my secondary build script, which would then build and run my actual thing. So I had like three layers of C, right? I had my meta build script, I had my build script, and okay, well, it's not C, it's C++, but then I had my game. Yes. So that's essentially three levels of C/C++. The game was like a mix of C and C++ because the library I'm using, Graylib, is a C library. But yeah, so inspired by that, and like this wasn't my idea, it's actually an example within the Knob repo. They have like an example on how to do this. So I was thinking, based on what Sodia said, I know C, I'm comfortable with C. I've had a lot of fun recently in C, inspired by Sodia. So the thing is, I learned C++ for competitive programming in December of 2020, and then C, I never took like tutorials, I basically watched coding. That's what I did, and I was like, that looks fun, and at some point I started programming C. I basically was already not using classes in C++. They're basically already writing procedural code. Then all it is change up the headers a bit and stop using IO streams, use printf, and ta-da, you have C. Now, it's going to be an awful C, but it's a C. So it's not that difficult switching over from C++ to C, at least if you have my experience with C++. If you're doing like heavy C++ features, then it's probably a bit more difficult. But then it's basically like the standard library is smaller. You don't have vectors, for example, working. You don't have templates, which does suck occasionally. The lack of metaprogramming does sometimes actually make the experience a bit more painful. But it does also like force you to like do stuff in a more simple way and stuff. And yeah, but like I had Sorting as an example, and mostly subconsciously, I reckon, I was basically emulating his style of programming in C. And I think I really learned how to keep stuff simple and constrain the scope. And for example, I've also learned how to stick long-term with the projects. Like some of the most long-term projects, most successful projects I've had, I actually started last year, right in the middle of math exams. Like I said, I'm distractible. Right in the middle of math exams I started, so I've got multiple long-term, a lot of them are on hiatus. I still jump between programs, but I have my runtime library. I still haven't given up on that. I need to finish the last few stuff, then I'm switching over to C99. C89 is like a bit too bare bones. It is not too. Well, honestly, just I need variadic macros. That's it. If C89 had variadic macros, I'd probably be happy. I need my variadic macros. Variadic macros are great. Variadic functions, don't really need those, it's just the macros I need. And then what else was it? There's that one, there's my game, which I'd semi-abandoned, but there's still stuff I want to do with it. There's my kernel, my first success in the direction of kernel programming. Never got very far into it before. To be fair, in this case, I said, forget about the bootloader, just write the kernel. And in fact, I'm not using grub or anything. I'm literally just saying, Kemu, this is a kernel. Write as a kernel. And previously, I tried going from bootload is everything. Very difficult. But yeah, I've got that one. I haven't worked on it in a month or two, but like, that one is, there are a few stuff I want to like tighten up and finish, and then that one's done. There's some private projects which I'm like doing for people I know. I need to spend more time on those. There are, what else? There's that list I wrote recently on my phone. Uploaded it like a day or two ago to GitHub. Very proud of that one. It's like an actually a pleasant little language. Currently I'm working on, like, to demonstrate the power of Lisp, working on a procedural dialect, but I'm not writing a compiler for a different language. I am just using Lisp itself, like the functionality within Lisp, to just like define macros, and now you have a procedural dialect. And I'm also working on making it bootstrappable. So yeah, so like I'm having fun with that. I think I like have another one or two. I can't remember all the projects I'm working on. But like lots of these I've been working on months. The last one only for 2 weeks. Probably I'm going to finish the procedural dialect, maybe visit it back for a Java dialect, and then like not touch it further. Use it as a base for some other lists, because like making a list is really fun. I might try to make a statically typed list on Lisp. I might want to try making a compiled list, and then try to go back into more syntactically complex languages, which so far I've had very little success with. I might also try adding it to the operating system, and while doing so, also optimize the amount of allocations it's doing, because it's really doing a lot of allocations. But then I think that I'd rather make a C++ based, like a C++ implementation of a Lisp based on that Lisp, rather than that Lisp itself with the same semantics. But I'm getting very off topic. I probably spent the last 10 minutes off topic. I still need to listen back to this attack, but actually I'm going to search for Linux dictation software, and I'm going to dictate this into a text file. And I'm just going to either edit that or type it over. I'm not listening to myself ramble for 40 minutes. Like, dude, I'm going to get so bored, even if I'm listening at 2x speed. Anyways, where was I? So yes, inspired by Toding's guy video. I don't think it was streamed. I think it was just a video. And inspired by the two-stage build process, I was like, well, why don't I do basically the same in C? I'm comfortable with C. I know how to use C. C is a nice and simple language. Not an easy language, a simple language. There's a difference. The Lisp I wrote in C, for example, also a very simple language. Don't know if it's more, it's syntactically it's more simple than C. Also very simple language. You have to think a bit weirdly to understand it. It's a bit of a odd paradigm. And I'm sure the listeners are going to get very mad at me. Don't worry, it's fine being odd. I'm odd. Don't worry about it. what's it? Yeah, so like C, very simple, right? It's basically a line of C. Like once you forget about the macros, right? Expand all your macros. A line of C basically corresponds to several lines of assembly. And like you can make pretty simple substitution rules, in theory at least. Now, of course, modern compilers are a lot more clever than that, but in theory, like, a line of C is just like a few assembly instructions, and in the same order that you write your C code, you can just write your assembly code, and there you have your program. In that sense, C is an incredibly simple language. That also means you have to do half the stuff yourself, which in a language like C++ or Go or Jai or Rust, the compiler would do a lot of the work you now have to do yourself. But yeah, so simple language, I actually like it a lot for recreational programming. C is great for that. I wouldn't want to actually maintain or build a serious program in C. That sounds painful, but like for recreational stuff, it's really a fun language. There's that. Yeah, and like I know it, I understand it. I feel like this is the fifth time I've said that, maybe only third, but whatever. So why don't I do the same thing that he did with his Jai? I know I can do it. I've done it with Knob before, with my two-stage bold project thingy. And I just wrote, I use Knob.h. I have C files in a, I don't have C files. I have template files in a directory. I assemble those template files into C files, and then I compile and run the C program. And the output of the C program is the content of my web page. Very straightforward. The execution was also honestly straightforward. And now the great thing is, I have like five or six different like constructs in my templating language. And like that's all I need, because if I need more complex stuff, I can just write C code. And like I can write C code. I know how to write C code. Whereas like previously, if I want to like do my own templating, it's like for everything you want to do with the templating language, you have to add a new form of templating. Whereas this, like I'm just generating C code, and I understand how the C code is generated. So like, if I want to use, let's say I'm using the IPA in a blog post, and I don't want to go back and forth to Wikipedia copy and pasting symbols from the IPA chart like I usually do, and I just want to say at the top of my program to let schwa equals schwa, and then I can just type out SHWA everywhere in my file and have that auto-substituted for the schwa symbol. Now, I wouldn't do this in practice because I can just type, what's it, print screen EE, I believe. I believe print screen is my, what do you call it? Like combination, yes, it's not combination, but like whatever, compose. I believe print screen is my compose key. I'm not sure though. Surely it's print screen. It might be like scroll lock or something. It sits on the right of my keyboard, right bottom. That's all I know. I've got muscle memory. So just like compose EE that writes schwa. But like if I want the, I don't know what the things are called, but like if I want the symbol for zh, like if I want the zh symbol, or the sh symbol for that matter, or the rr symbol, not rr, if I want that symbol, you know, I can't type that on my keyboard, so if I want to say just like, let English R be substituted for the R symbol, in C I can just like, either I can just define a variable, and then have the, and then use the print the C expression template, or I can define a function which prints it to standard output, which that's actually a bit stupid to do it that way, but I can do that, and then do the run the C code template, right? I can do that, you know, I can just do that, whereas if I was writing like my own whole templating language and stuff, I'd have to like make a new substitution template, you know. Yeah. And so because of like this built-in like capabilities that you have, like the, my blog generating template in language, essentially, is Turing complete. I get that basically for free with a syntax I'm familiar with. Like the template syntax, I obviously need to learn, but like the programming syntax, which gives me the Turing completeness, that I get for free because I already know how to write, see? All of that I get basically for free with an actually incredibly simple program. All I do is I do some pattern matching. And then around my captured patterns, essentially. Like, this isn't the exact way it's handled in code, but like, this is conceptually what I'm doing. I just do some pattern matching, right? Like, this sort of a bracket means that. And then within the matched pattern, I just take the text which is matched within the pattern, and I put some text around it, and I write it to a file, and then I call an external program, and I have my page. Simple as that. So yeah, I think like the moral of the story is, keep it simple, stupid, or stop being perfectionistic and reinventing the wheel and just use something somebody else wrote. Basically, pick between those two, and you can have a website. Also, like, don't be like me. I'm just like weird. Be like, I'll link his website. I should like write the blog post and then ask him if I can link this website. But like, one of my classmates, he's working like on an awesome website. It looks great. He's using like, I'm pretty sure it's using React, and like, there's all sorts of like, I don't know, JavaScript components and stuff, but like, it looks like a desktop, right? Looks like a computer desktop, and like, you know, you can open the one window and there's like cool particle systems and trails that follow your mouse. Yeah, he's going more of a like tech demo, show of the programming I can do. Like, I can do web dev, or I am learning to do web dev, rather than I just want something which displays text, which, like, both websites are cool. I'm going more in the Gemini philosophy, the alternative to the internet Gemini protocol. And, like, the cool thing about the way I'm doing stuff, there's nothing about what I'm doing which makes it inherently that I need to write HTML. So, like, I could also generate a Gemini capsule using the same static site generator, which is, like, really awesome. I don't know. I might set up a Gemini capsule at some point, and it might mirror most of the content. It might be easier to just, like, have separate content on the Gemini capsule, but I could also, like, write some sort of a... just write gem text and write a gem text to HTML converter. Like maybe some sort of an expanded gem text, whereas you can take it as is and then it's valid gem text and it works. But then also, like, if I put stars around a word, it will bold it in HTML or whatever, so that the conversion to HTML isn't a strict gem text interpreter. You know, some people which that would anger greatly, but I don't care. I'm doing my own thing. And I'm thinking specifically of what's his name? Drew DeVault, yeah. I think, was it Lagrange? Or was it another Gemini browser? Ooh, they had this cool thing about, like, a favicon emoji. So you'd have, like, a favicon.txt at your site root, and that would contain a single emoji. And then if they find the favicon.txt, it would, like, display that as, like, your capsule's favicon, like the same as you've got your little picture in the website, right? YouTube's got the play button. I've also got my own thing, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember. I might not. Google has the G. DuckDuckGo has the little duck. Facebook presumably has an F. I don't really use Facebook. Sometimes I watch church services on Facebook, but that's just my family. That's only if we as a family, for some reason, can't make it to church. Yeah, when I'm on my own, I normally you can just walk to church, but whatever. Yeah, so they did that like cool favicon emoji. And by the way, I'm like, done with my first drop now. I'm just rambling to myself. it's a really cool idea, you know, like saying, you know, if you don't like it, like, we'll put you in a blacklist of sites or whatever, like, they were really cool about it, or like, respect the robots for text or something. I don't know if Gemini has a robots.txt, but anyways, and like, you see, like, they just, like, sent Grudovolt off, he was like, no, but like, everything must be a single request, and you are, like, ruining this, and next thing we're going to have HTML and trackers and whatever, and if anyone queries this file on my capsule, I am going to block their IP, and I don't know what else. I'm talking off the top of my head, right? This isn't probably not exactly what he said. It's like, I understand his concerns. 100% fair. But just the way he handled it, he went a bit overboard, is all I'm saying. I think generally it's a thing. People who are good at programming typically they're weird is the easiest way to say it. You have to have some sort of an atypical, a weird mind. You have to think in strange ways, and you're probably quite intelligent. And that typically comes like that combination of stuff typically comes with. You're probably not the most socially well-adjusted individual. And I am also talking about myself. I hope at least I have politeness and clear communications down, but I definitely am not the best, so the most well-socially adjusted individual either. Linus Torvalds is also like, I think he's mellowed out recently, but like he's also like known for being very rude and outspoken, let's just say. So I imagine like if I say no, I'm writing like extended gem text, and so it's not just you're not just looking at the first three characters. Like you can look at the first three characters and it's some further gem text. Like you can do that, no problem. But also, I am interpreting stuff in the middle for HTML, and I'm not just using it for, like, layout of content, or I can't remember exactly, I'm also, like, doing other stuff with it. I'm sure he'd be... Well, I don't know if he really cares about it anymore, and hopefully he's improved since then, but I imagine others who are passionate about the whole Gemini thing, Gemini, however you pronounce it, might also be very upset at my twisting of it, but like, it's a cool technology, like it's a cool protocol, it's a cool technology, and yeah, I am just messing around and doing stuff that I find fun, you know, and I am going to do my best to be polite as I do it when I interact with other people. But I am over here doing my own thing and having fun. If I don't conform to your strict sense of purity, I don't really care. I'll be honest. But yeah. Anyways. 50-minute recording. Ain't this one. That's why I'm going to use dictation software. I'm not listening back to this. Yep.